Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, and from God our Father. Amen. As I've been looking over this text the last couple weeks in Romans, my mind turned to our Palm ministry, our Peace Adult Life ministry, and especially one person, as it's been a topic of interest for year after year that I've been here. And Carolyn Lucas, I don't think she's here tonight because I was going to talk about her and she knew it, but that's all right. She's always questioned passages just like this one, where someone's heart, like Pharaoh tonight, is going to be hardened. So I hope if she watches this message, she'll get a good one. And I hope for the rest of us that we all learn and grow as we think about the way that God's will works in relationship to the expectations we have. So one of the things that I like to do outside of church is art stuff. I enjoy being creative in the process of forming things. Mostly for me right now, that takes the form of photography, especially taking pictures of my kids, and then also coloring books. Now, for me, this is a time of joy and patience and peace, as I'm able to really shut out the outside world and simply pour myself into the creative process. I wonder if you guys spend time creating, whether it's behind the easel, at the pottery wheel, maybe in a coloring book, behind the lens of a camera, or in the kitchen, behind the stove, or maybe the smoker. I think the most interesting thing about allowing creativity to happen is the first moment when you see the blank canvas or the empty notebook page, the moment where the inspiration starts as you make the first few strokes of the pen, brushes of the brush, or maybe it's the first few clicks of the shutters on your camera as you catch a glimpse of something profound and beautiful. Another one of those moments is that first moment when you catch the glimpse of what the final product might look like. Now, you know there's a ton of work that goes between those two moments, right? The first stroke and then the first glimpse of what it's going to be. And then even more work as you look towards the completed project. But the end result is always worth it as you've created something beautiful or quite tasty that can brighten your life and those around you. Paul talks about being creative tonight in our reading. He uses the image of a potter working with clay, shaping it into a masterpiece for some items and for other items, ordinary housewares. The challenge as we look into Paul's words this evening is that he's using them more sharply as he's talking to the people of Rome. He's going back to some of the language that the prophet Isaiah used to the people of Israel, reminding them that the potter was at work in each piece of clay, each pot that was made. Isaiah 29:16 tells the people, the clay, to be careful to not try to tell the potter how to do his job. Later on, Isaiah in chapter 64 reminds the people that we are the clay and God is the potter. We are the work of his hand. We are dependent on God who literally shapes us. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he is the object lesson prophet. And so, of course, he's going to do an object lesson, and he takes it one step further. He literally went to the potter's house in chapter 18 of Jeremiah to watch the object lesson in action. The potter was working at his wheel on a pot as the wheel was spinning, but the shape wasn't coming out the right way. So the potter had to go back to the clay and restart, making a new pot out of that same clay as Jeremiah watched the whole process. God was teaching Jeremiah and the people of Israel that they are dependent upon him. Sometimes God has to change the shape even when everything seems to be coming together. So God has to change that shape sometimes, even when it seems like it's done. One of the more creative folks in our time, Walt Disney, said this when he was talking about his prize creation, Disneyland. He said, "Sometimes when I'm not satisfied, I just have to reshape everything until it looks like what I want it to achieve." As Paul picks up this imagery of pottery from Jeremiah, which is a story I believe that would have resonated immediately with his audience, he is using it to remind the people that God is the potter and that there are times when he will make decisions that don't exactly make good sense to them. God's the potter. He's the creator. And we are the clay. We're the creation. The Roman Christians were just like you and I when they searched through the scriptures in life. They found places where God didn't act like himself. He wasn't fair. He wasn't just. God didn't live up to our expectations. Now, Pharaoh is one of those guys. As Paul says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Paul did this to show, or God did this to show, his power and his glory. But it hurt. But so Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they faced heavy consequences. First, as the plagues came through, and then finally, as the Red Sea came crashing down upon them and their horses, their chariots, and all the men. That's not fair or just, right? If you remember, Pastor Jim was talking about Jacob and Esau. Now, Esau got the short end of the stick. At first, he sold his birthright for some stew because he was hungry. And then, what happened? Jacob stole his blessing. He inherited everything. Esau was left with basically nothing. How is that fair? So the Christians in Rome could look around and see the persecution that they faced on a daily basis. And they could ask that same question. How is this fair? It wasn't part of their expectation that they'd be putting themselves on the chopping block. It would make them and us today ask the same question. God, how is this fair? Paul brings us back to the image of the potter and the clay. He says, "Shall what formed say to who formed it, why did you make me like this?" The potter is the potter. God is God. And you and I, we are the clay. It's that simple. We have no more right to challenge our role than does the clay. So as we think about the creative process, it puts us in a beautiful place as the potter continues to shape and mold us. One of the challenges is that we don't know what the finished product looks like. The tough part about seeing those things where God doesn't seem fair, where as a backseat potter, you ever done that? We're like, oh man, I would have totally done that different. Kind of like a backseat driver. But it's in God's mercy that he continues to shape and mold us. At times going back to the beginning to form us into the masterpiece that he had always seen in us. Paul writes in verse 16, "It doesn't depend on man's desire, but God's mercy." It's the reminder of love and grace that the potter has for each of us. For each piece of clay that he picks up, each piece that he has a vision for what it will become, each piece that forms a larger part of his work and his creation. As I look back through those same stories where we can ask, how is this fair? I see God working through Jacob to bring the promise to the people of Israel, his descendants, and to the rest of the world. I see God working through Pharaoh to bring deliverance and grace to God's people, that the promise might continue and grow. And I see what could be viewed as the biggest, how in the world is this fair moment? The one where they literally took an innocent man nailing him to the cross as the biggest moment of God's creative mercy and grace, where God himself came down in the person of Jesus to die on a cross, to give up his life for ours. At the core of God's will and expectation is simply that we have faith in him and the redeeming grace that Jesus brought on the cross. His other expectation at his core is that we'll simply continue to be growing as he shapes us just like the potter shapes the clay until the final product is ready to be put in the kiln. One of the things that I find fascinating about the time that we live in with all the social media is the ability to look back over the things that have happened in the past in such an easier way. I don't know about y'all, but did y'all used to watch slideshows? What about those big photo albums? Do y'all have like 100 of them in your house? Probably. I can remember thumbing through those, looking at old pictures of vacations from my parents and their wedding and all the other ordinary stuff that makes life so interesting. Yeah, the difference is today, what do? You go on Facebook, you click memories, and every memory you have for that day pops up. Or you click on memories and it'll show you more things that have happened. You see pictures, you see posts, you see events that have happened. And I love this feature because it gives me and y'all the ability to reminisce about some of the cool things that have happened in the past. I think one of the things that's interesting about it too is that it gives us the ability to look back on some of the hard times in life, the places where we've hit total rough patches. Those times when, as the clay, what's happening? God's putting us back together in the lump. We can look back at those times and remember the profoundness that we encounter as we see God's overwhelming grace reforming us as we look back after 6 months or a year or 4 years or 5 years or 10 years. Now, as we get older, maybe 20 or 30 or 40 years. And for our kids, a lifetime, our grandkids. I think that is the profoundness that we encounter as we simply submit to God's will and let our expectations go by the side at times. When we allow ourselves to mold those expectations that we have into God's will and expectation for our life. The master potter has the time and the ability to work fully on our clay and to make the masterpiece that he has envisioned. The beautiful part about the creative process that God uses as the potter is that he is continually shaping and forming us through his mercy and grace and love so that his glory may be shown through us to the rest of the world. So as you get ready to go out this week, let your clay be displayed and let the glory of God shine as he continues his creative work in you. Amen.